This is Ronald Coleman, inviting you to radio's most dramatic half hour, Favorite Story. Imagination is as good as many, many voyages, and considerably cheaper. And the imagination of a child is a wondrous thing indeed. For without grown-up reality to stand in the way, a young gentleman of 10 can be Charlemagne riding to victory or heavyweight boxing champion of the world. The magic casements are very wide. Time and space are dissolved. Anything can happen inside a kid's head. That's the title of this week's favorite story, an original radio yarn. Classrooms and clubs have taken quite a fancy to this story, and it has been published in many anthologies. Douglas Fairbanks Jr. happened on it while searching for film material and named Inside a Kid's Head his favorite story. This personally conducted tour through the brain of a 10-year-old was written by Jerome Lawrence and Robert E. Lee. Right this way, please. Just follow the guide.
Ladies and gentlemen, will the members of the tour please stay together? Ah, that's better. We are now standing inside the brain of Richie Price.
Oh.
This is not usually included in the 55-cent tour, but... Oh, excuse me, sir. Don't stand too close to those nerve centers. High voltage, you know.
Oh, sorry. Huh.
Thank you. Right now, Richie is in his history class in grade 5B at Hazeldale Elementary School. We are standing at the medulla oblongata, looking up into the cerebellum.
Pardon me, guide, but what's all that over there? It looks like wool.
Oh, that is wool, madam. This boy has been wool gathering quite a bit lately. You'll notice that the walls here are lined with gray matter, which absorbs any ideas that may be floating about.
Oh, my God!
What was that, guide?
Oh, that was just an idea going in one ear and out the other. We're now coming into the cerebrum, the largest section of the brain. On the right, you see the master control panel for the automatic functions, such as heartbeats, digestion, breathing, and so forth.
Inhale. Exhale. Inhale. Exhale. Inhale. Exhale. Inhale.
That must be the breathing mechanism.
That's right, ma'am. And here's the digestion control.
Four more licorice drops coming past the epiglottis.
Okay. Better turn on a little more gastric juice.
Right, Chief.
Master Control, go ahead.
Oh, stomach calling.
Roger, stomach. Over to you.
Look, Chief, I'm going to be upset if this eating between meals isn't cut out. I haven't even digested those peanut butter sandwiches that came down for lunch. We got to get some rest down here.
Well, I'll shoot a memo up to the Common Sense Department, see if we can't get them to conserve on the food intake. We haven't been getting much cooperation from Common Sense lately. Do the best you can.
Will go, Chief.
Isn't that wonderful?
Yes, yes, it's quite a complicated apparatus. Now, folks, we've installed an observation booth on the second floor of the cranium, right up these stairs. From this booth, you can see and hear everything that goes on in this boy's head. Through this doorway, please.
Oh, this is nice.
Plush chairs and everything. Can we smoke?
Oh, no, I'm sorry, sir. The Board of Health says no smoking. It might cause a fever. Just a moment. I'll turn this loudspeaker on the main thinking channel.
And children, don't forget that up to this time, King John was the absolute monarch of England.
Anything he said
was
wrong.
That's his history teacher talking.
But King John wasn't a good king. He mistreated his subjects, and that's why his barons made him sign the Great Charter. Now, close your history books, children.
Well, the reception isn't very good. I'm afraid this boy Richie Price isn't paying much attention to his teacher. Oh, the imagination is coming in on the same wavelength. Oh, this ought to be interesting.
Now, look here, King. You've been acting awfully bossy lately, and we barons are getting pretty sick of it.
What dost thou propose, Sir Richie? Thou hast no right to challenge the King of England.
Well, now, Your Majesty, we barons have been talking this over just between ourselves, and we come to the conclusion the people ought to have something to say about what's going on.
Please, Father, why don't you do as Sir Richie asks? He's so handsome.
This is none of thy concern, Princess Mary Jane. My liegemen, this is treason.
Just get down off your high horse, King John. All we're asking you to do is put your name on this hunk of paper, so those folks won't have to worry about you not treating them right. I happen to have a fountain pen right here in my suit of armor. Now, if you'll just sign on the dotted line...
I refuse. Thou art a traitor.
We mean business, King John. You better sign or we'll have to get tough.
Sir Richie is right. Sign, Father.
You better if you want to keep on being king around here.
Very well, Sir Richie. Give me the pen. There. Take your old paper.
Sir Richie, you're so wonderful.
Oh, it was nothing. Gentlemen, we shall call this the Magna Carta.
Three cheers for Sir Richie.
Hurrah for Sir Richie. Richie. Richie.
Richie. Richie. Richie.
Huh?
Yeah.
Yes, Miss Ludlow?
Well, will you stop daydreaming long enough to answer the question I just asked?
Why, King John?
In 14 years of teaching, that is the first time a pupil ever told me that King John invented the sewing machine. Wait, class. For tomorrow, study Chapter 8 in your general science book. Class dismissed. Oh, Richie.
Yes, ma'am.
Richie, what do you think we should do with a boy who doesn't pay attention in class?
I don't know, ma'am.
Do you think we should give him a note to take home to his parents?
Do we have to do anything that severe?
I'm afraid so. And there you are. I want you to take this home, have your father sign it, and bring it back to me.
Yes, ma'am.
Mary Jane! Hey, Mary Jane!
Go away, silly. I don't want to be seen walking with you.
Gee whiz, Mary Jane. What's the matter?
Because you're silly, that's what you are. Why don't you ever study your lessons?
I do, but I just forgot or something.
You needn't ask me to walk home with you. Billy Winkler's already asked me.
Him? Oh, gee. Gee whiz.
Oh, what's that, Guide?
Keep your seats, ladies and gentlemen. There's nothing to worry about.
Sure.
That low gray fog you see rolling in from the cerebellum is nothing but gloom. Pure gloom.
Richie. Just wait until your father sees this note from Miss Ludlow.
Do we have to show it to him?
Complete lack of classroom spirit, it says. Oh, your father'll be furious.
Maybe we hadn't ought to bother him when he's so worried about the election.
Well, when those boys and girls go home and tell their folks the kind of boy you are, do you think they'll vote for Daddy next Tuesday?
I don't know.
Oh, good heavens, your father'll be home any minute. Be sure to brush your hair and clean your fingernails, Richie, before dinner. Your father's invited the Winklers over.
Billy, too? Is he coming?
Yes. And I want you to be a little gentleman.
Oh, nuts.
After all, Mr. Winkler's one of the most important men in the county.
He's fat, that's what.
And if we want Daddy to be elected state assemblyman, we'll have to be very nice to the Winklers. Let me warm up your coffee, Mr. Winkler.
Thank you very much. Go on, Price.
Well, as I was saying, J.B., we all know how badly the State Highway Commission has been run. Now, if I'm elected state assemblyman, that graft is going to be stopped.
A lofty sentiment, Price.
Now, I have the facts on this highway swindle that'll blow the opposition to bits. It's all typed out here in this article. But Jeff Green's newspaper won't print it. He's on the other side of the fence politically.
Well, what's your idea?
Now, why don't we get an appropriation from the party funds to print up a copy of this exposé and mail it to every voter in the county? The election would be in the bag.
Why don't we all go into the living room and finish our coffee there?
Oh, good idea. Richie?
Yes, Dad?
You take Billy up to your room and show him your electric train. Eh?
Oh, does he still play with electric trains?
Run along, Billy.
Okay.
Now, this may run into some money, J.B., but as I see it, it's the only sure way to get the votes we need.
Come on.
Okay.
This is my room. Gee, it's small. Let's see you train.
It's all set up over here. It's got a variable speed rheostat, automatic signals, and it'll stop on a dime. Watch. See? Isn't that keen?
Nah, it's punk. That's for kids.
Kids, huh?
What else you got?
I got some boxing gloves. Here, try them on.
I don't like boxing gloves.
Come on, I'll show you something.
No, I don't want to.
You said you didn't like kid stuff. Well, this ain't kid stuff. Come on, put up your dukes.
Hey, wait a minute. Don't you hurt me.
It's easy, see? You lead with your right and then with your left.
Hey!
Like this.
Ouch,
one,
look out!
Two! One, two!
The old 1-2-1-2. Pepsi's in rare form tonight. It's the fight of his life. Oh, the challenger just launched a terrific left to Dungy's chin. He's rearing. The champ's against the ropes. And there's the bell, folks, that ends the round. The seconds are helping Dempsey back to his corner.
How are you, Richie? Are you all right, boy?
It was nothing, Mac. Give me the towel.
Don't forget, Richie Dempsey has never lost a fight.
Don't worry, Mac. I won't let you down.
It's not just the world's heavyweight championship that's at stake. Or that million-dollar purse. But Mary Jane has promised to walk home from school with the winner of this fight.
Did she really say that?
And what's more, she's out there in the audience right now cheering for you.
Mary Jane here?
Hooray for Richie Dempsey!
Let me yap that Billy Purple.
They're coming out of their corners. Oh, with that first punch in the round, Richie Dempsey knocks the challenger out cold. Mr. Dempsey, won't you say something to our radio audience?
Gentlemen, I am happy to be the heavyweight champion of the world.
Yay! Richie, what happened?
What's Billy doing there on the floor? Wake up, son. Wake up.
We was just playing.
Well, the boy's out cold. Mother, get some smelling salts.
Oh, dear.
Huh? What happened?
Never mind, Mrs. Price. He's coming, too. Are you hurt, son?
Oh, my chin hurts. He hit me on the chin.
Richie, would you mind getting our coats? I'd better get the boy home.
But, J.B., what about the election?
We'll have to forget the whole thing for now. And, Price, if that was my boy, he'd get a good talking to. Good night.
Good night,
J.B.
I guess Mr. Winkler was sort of mad, wasn't he, Father?
Richie?
Yes, Dad?
You wanted me to be elected State Assemblyman next Tuesday, didn't you?
Sure, Dad.
Well, there isn't a chance now. Mr. Winkler was the only man who could get that article of mine published and circulated.
Would you like to take away my allowance for a week?
Richie, your mother and I are going to give you just one more chance. If I hear of your misbehaving just once again, something drastic is going to happen.
Gee whiz.
Is there any aspirin, Ella?
Yes, in the medicine chest.
I'm going to lie down for a while. I feel terrible.
Mom.
Yes, Richie?
Did you give Dad that note from Miss Ludlow yet?
I gave it to him, but he just stuffed it in his pocket. I don't think he's read it.
You don't, huh? Mom, was it in his suit coat pocket or his overcoat pocket?
We're ready for Act Two of Douglas Fairbanks Jr.'s favorite story, Inside a Kid's Head. Richie Price, age 10, is a young man with a powerful imagination. All of a sudden, he's a knight in armor at the court of King John. or Richie Dempsey, the finest boxer who ever stepped into a ring. Of course, if you're of a practical turn of mind, you'll probably call this just plain and fancy daydreaming. Well, maybe it is, but let's see what happens as we continue this guided tour inside a kid's head.
That's a three-alarm warning from the conscience.
What's going on?
Is there any danger?
Can't tell exactly yet. Evidently, young Richie's up to something he shouldn't be doing. I haven't heard a racket like that from his conscience since he cribbed in an arithmetic exam back in 43.
Say, Guide, isn't it getting fainter?
Yes, I'm afraid he isn't paying much attention to it.
Uh-oh, what's happened?
Let's tune in on the visual channel and see what he's up to. Do you see what he's doing? He's sneaking into his father's closet. He's reaching into his father's coat pocket. He's groping around in the dark. He's taking an envelope out of a pocket and slipping it under his sweater. Hey. Hang on to your chairs, ladies and gentlemen. There's nothing to worry about. Richie's just going downstairs three steps at a time. Now I think he's going into the local newspaper office.
Hi, Mac.
Hi, Richie.
Putting the paper to bed, Mac?
Yeah.
Got much more to linotype?
Oh, just the editorials, then we're all washed up.
Will you let me type some?
Maybe. Well, spill it.
Huh?
Spill it. What's on your mind?
Oh, gosh, Mac, nobody understands me except you. You're the only friend I've got in the world.
Trouble at home?
Trouble every place. I guess I dinged my dad's chances of being state assemblyman. I got bawled out at school, and Mary Jane doesn't like me anymore, and everything.
Mm-hmm. Where were you running from just now?
Home. I said King John invented the sewing machine.
Oh, no.
And Miss Ludlow gave me a note to take home to my dad. And all kinds of terrible things happened at home.
Uh-huh.
So I took the note out of my dad's pocket so he wouldn't see it, and... Well, here I am.
You mean you went through your pa's pockets?
Well, I didn't steal anything. I just borrowed the note for a while, so he wouldn't see it and have more to worry about.
Let me see the note.
Here.
Mm-hmm. Miss Ludlow write this?
Yeah.
I charge that the State Highway Commission is rife with graft and corruption.
Holy jumping Jupiter, I got the wrong paper.
I kind of wondered if Miss Ludlow was going into politics.
Oh, Mac, my dad'll skin me. Everything's wrong now. Gee whiz, Mac, what'll I do?
Now, look, Richie, things will work out all right. What you've got to do is get your mind off of your troubles. Why don't you go over and knock out a few lines in the other linotype?
Can I, honest?
Yeah, sure. But watch out. Don't get a shock.
Well, thanks, Mac. Gee, thanks. Gosh, now I wonder what I'll write. Oh, Miss Mary Jane.
Yes, Mr. Franklin.
Bring your notebook in here. I want to give you some dictation for poor Richie's almanac.
Yes, Mr. Franklin.
Take a maxim. A penny saved is a penny earned. How do you like that, Miss Mary Jane?
A lofty sentiment, Mr. Franklin.
You may call me Richie if you like.
Oh, you're so clever. Richie.
And here's another one that I thought of yesterday afternoon while I was inventing the rocking chair. A stitch in time saves nine.
Oh, you're so clever, Richie Franklin.
Take these down to the press room and see that they get in this issue of Poor Richie's Almanac.
Yes, Mr. Franklin.
I have a free hour. What do you suppose I ought to invent?
You're the clever one, Mr. Franklin.
I know. It's an idea I had while I was in France last year buying Louisiana. Thought I'd call it the harmonica.
I'll take these maxims right down to the print shop.
Very well. Now, let me see. Here. There.
Is there anything else, Mr. Franklin?
Well, it's all finished. Listen.
Oh, it's wonderful. You're so clever, Richie Franklin.
Oh, it's nothing, really. Come in.
Mr. Franklin, Mr. Franklin, I have a scoop for poor Richie's almanac. A scoop, a scoop.
Oh, now, just calm down, young man, and tell me what this is all about.
Mr. Franklin, I charge that the Continental Congress is rife with graft and corruption. Here, this paper will explain everything, sir.
Miss Mary Jane, would you please hand me my bifocals? Thank you.
Continental Congress, rife,
graft. Why, this will blow the opposition to bits.
Every voter in the American colony should see a copy of this expose, sir. And you're the only man who can publish and circulate it in poor Richie's almanac.
It's very fortunate that yesterday I invented the linotype machine. Otherwise, we can never get this out in time for today's issue. Come with me.
What an amazing machine. Where did you ever get the idea?
It came to me like a flash while I was signing the Declaration of Independence. Give me that expose. I'll set it up myself. What was that?
It's beginning to thunder and lightning out, Mr. Franklin.
Lightning, that's just what I've been waiting for. Miss Mary Jane, get me my kite.
Here it is, Mr. Franklin.
I'll help you launch it, Mr. Franklin.
Thank you, son. There she goes. Now, hand me that key, Miss Mary Jane.
Here you are, sir. Oh, I wonder what he's going to invent now.
I think the kite's up high enough. Now, watch carefully, everyone. I'm going to touch this key to the kite string.
Oh.
Gentlemen, I have decided to call my invention electricity. Oh, gee.
After all the times I've let you play with that linotype, you ought to know better.
Gosh, I burned my finger, and it hurts.
Oh, here, let me see.
Ow.
Yeah, kind of a bad burn. We better go next door, and I'll give you some first aid. Oh, Joe, lock up that editorial page, will you?
Guard, what's happening now? I can't see a thing.
Nothing's happening, ma'am. The boy's asleep. And he's not even dreaming.
How come?
I think he's blown a fuse in his imagination. Besides, he's had a pretty tough day. But something ought to be happening soon. You see, it's morning already.
Richie, wake up.
That's his mother calling him now.
Wake up, Richie.
Say, what's going on downstairs?
Put on your bathrobe and come down. Just about everybody in town's here. Your father's so excited he can hardly talk.
Gee whiz, now what have I done? Doggone, this leaves always wrong side out.
Price, that's the cleverest political move that's ever been made in this state. You're as good as in office right now.
Thank you. Thank you.
That editorial of yours has blasted the State Highway Commission wide open.
What I can't understand, Price, is how you got the opposition paper to print that editorial of yours.
Well, sir, you're not the only one that doesn't quite understand that, J.B.
Mom, what's happened?
Well, that article of your father's is in the morning paper.
Oh, gee. Hey, what's Mary Jane doing here?
She came over with her father. Oh, dear, I wish I put those new curtains up yesterday. Everybody in town's here to congratulate your father.
A brilliant article, Price, brilliant. Frankly, though, I didn't quite get that reference in the last paragraph to the Continental Congress.
Well, there are a number of people here who didn't understand that.
Ralph, I'm so proud of you. But how did that article get printed in the paper?
Darned if I know, Ellen. Somebody must have just taken it out of my pocket. Say, Richie.
Yes, Father?
You didn't happen to take anything out of my pocket last night, did you?
Well, as a matter of fact, I did. But I just meant to get the note from Miss Ludlow because you were so upset. I got your article by mistake and I was going to put it back. Honest, I was.
But how did it get into the paper?
Well, I went down to see Mac, and he let me play with the linotype machine, and I guess I set up your speech, and I guess Joe put it in the form, and I guess it got in the paper. Please don't be mad.
Mad? Folks, I want you to meet my boy.
Who is?
If I'm elected on Tuesday...
You will be, Ralph. You will be.
Thank you. Well, then, all the credit goes to Richie here. Why, if it weren't for what he did, I wouldn't stand a chance of being state assemblyman.
No.
Oh, Richie, I'm so proud of you.
Gosh, Mary Jane, you kissed me.
Gee whiz, you kissed me on the cheek.
You know, I'd like to make a prediction right now. I'll bet dollars to donuts my boy Richie will be one of the great political leaders of his day.
Gentlemen, I shall be very happy to speak at Gettysburg.
Lawrence and Lee, who wrote this yarn, tell me it was taken from life. Hazeldell School can still be found in a shady little corner of the city of Cleveland. And they are certain that, like themselves at the age of 10, many Richie Prices still sit at the well-worn fifth-grade desks, dreaming of standing up on a Pennsylvania hillside to recite 47 years ago. Our thanks to Jerry Farber for playing Richie Price so well, to Claude Sweeten, who composed the score, and to Douglas Fairbanks, Jr., who named this his favorite story. I think it was Montaigne who said, marriage is somewhat like a birdcage. The birds outside are trying to get in, and those inside are trying to get out. Now, Monsieur Montaigne was rather bitter, perhaps, but there's more than a grain of truth in what he said. And next week's favorite story is a fascinating study of the birdcage known as marriage. The great Norwegian playwright, Henrik Ibsen, didn't call it a birdcage, however. He called it a doll's house. And it's a favorite story you shouldn't miss. Mr. Alfred Wallenstein, the eminent symphony conductor, chose it, and we will have a fine cast. We hope you'll be listening.